for more cigarettes.
Log Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Nick, and I'm here with my co-host, Terry, and this is Hell No, the radio show. Hell No, the radio show is a socially conscious water cooler talk show about what's going on in the world as we feature guests and callers who express their thoughts. Hell No is friendly, it's funny, it's real, and it's focused on empowering the truth. We give a voice to people who feel left in the dust. This program is not democratic, it's not fascist, it's not politically correct, or a place for sacred cows. What we do in this program is we advocate for peace, critical thought, education, reading, and social awareness. Go ahead and write down this telephone number and call me and Terry to share your thoughts on our discussion stirring topics on tonight's Hell No episode. Telephone number is area code 718-508-9419. Then when you're prompted, dial option number 1 on the telephone keypad. Number again is 718-508-9419. Hell No is a one-hour show, and we take calls in the order we receive them, so please sit tight. I want to also remind everybody that we can receive an email at any time at hellnoradioshow@gmail.com, and also to find other episodes you can play on demand, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and we are there to communicate with you all. Of course, partial support for Hell No Radio Show comes from our sponsors, and Terry's going to tell us about them now.
Tonight's sponsor is the Valkyrie Extra Saddle Pad for horses. It's the humane alternative for your horse and a much more comfortable ride for you. This is an orthopedic pad with a radical new design. It's a revolutionary design to help protect your horse's spine, to give that horse a far more comfortable ride and give you a more comfortable ride. It does this by transferring the force of your downward force of your body all the way around the top of the thorax of the horse. So if you're a 150-pound rider, what the horse feels is the impact of an 81-pound rider. Yes, it is that remarkable. It was tested at the Gluck Institute down in Kentucky. Dr. Peterson down there, tested on several horses. It was tested with pressure pads on treadmill and also in the ring. It's an amazing new pad. It is something that will give your horse a much longer, effective athletic life and give that horse a far more comfortable situation with a saddle on it. The horses, when they've been ridden for any length of time, one of the things that starts to happen is that the ligaments stretch and tear, the short ligaments that are attached to the spinal column. This pad prevents it to an incredible extent. Once those ligaments are torn or scarred, they shorten up and they pull the horse's gait closer, which means that the horse can no longer stretch out properly. So if you have a horse that's an athlete in the first place, this will certainly extend its career. If you have a horse that you truly love, it is a far more gentle ride for that horse and far less stress on his spine, or her spine, as the case may be. This pad is available only through the show at the moment, and you can call 352-423-0081 and ask about the Valkyrie Extra Saddle Pad for your horse. The humane alternative, it is a remarkably engineered pad. It's all made by hand in the USA from USA materials. How's that for a switch? Once again, the Valkyrie Extra Saddle Pad. You can reach us 352-423-0081 and get more information and get a pad. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Terry. Do you remember that movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas?
I don't think so.
Well, if any of our listeners remember the movie from the 80s with Michael Douglas, who was frustrated on his commute home, someone cut him off, one thing led to another, and the guy just snapped. And it was over a lot of the stuff we have to talk about tonight and every week. And I take deep breaths and I say, you know what? There are other people in this world who have worse problems other than annoyances, but I have a couple. Terry, you know, you're usually the one who has the luck of, and you're not even Irish, but, you know, some of these, I'm just going to start off with a little tale about things don't work. So, following up from last week, I'm just going to explain this. Okay. I have two trucks because I'm smart and I kept my old one. I've got a 94 Silverado and she's a faded from the sun. She's beaten. She's been, good Lord, that truck's been through hell and back. But it still runs. And I kept it because, you
it
know
sounds
what?
Like your
97,
girlfriend.
They...
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate the levity. So, meanwhile, my nice, fancy, shiny, expensive 2009 Silverado that's real head-turner, beautiful truck, sounds great, everything. But when I bought it, the door locks weren't working correctly because the door lock actuators were not making the door locks go up and down anymore. Someone told me, well, that's an Achilles problem with that year make and model at 2009. The actuators work. Well, I went and replaced them, and you know, I'm smart. Go and buy the parts from O'Reilly's, go over to the local body shop. The guy charged me $100, you know, $300, and I was out the door. My door locks worked again. Yay, wonderful. Don't need to use the key. Don't have to reach over to open the lock on the other door, you know. So it's good stuff. Well, today I go to get my haircut at Sport Clips, which I'll get to them next. I can't get out of my truck. The doors are unlocked. I pull the inside lock. I can't get out. I roll down the window, try the outdoor. I can't get out. I go to use the key, try to maybe unlock that. I can't get out of my truck. I'm like, oh, good Lord. I'm going to have to crawl over the seat and get out the other side, you know? So I might as well just, like, Dukes of Hazzard this thing and hop out the window, but I'd still have to crawl on the other side and roll the window back up. So I'm feeling really cool about myself and, you know, figuring, well, you know, maybe when the guy fixed the actuator thing, something got missed, you know, whatever, I'll take it back. And it'll be fine. So meanwhile, I'll finish that story. But meanwhile, the interluding story is I go into Sport Clips. Just go to get my haircut. Now, why do I go to Sport Clips? I have a really simple guy haircut. It's a number 5 all around, leave a little shorter in the front. A little longer, whatever. I mean, it's easy. I'm not going to pay an expensive amount for a haircut. I just go to the Sport Clips, and I tip the girls $5. You know, it comes to 22, whatever, it's $16. Well, I go in there to sign in. Used to, it was write your name down on the piece of paper, and then they enter it in the computer. Well, no. Now they have these kiosks, like they have at Applebee's and other places. And this girl swivels this little computer around where I'm supposed to check in using the little computer. Type in your phone number. I said, you know what, ma'am? We just talked about this on my radio show last week about the woman who went to the building and there was no man attendant to help her, and she had to use a computer terminal on the wall that didn't even work. And the girl, I said, you know what? I know it's not y'all's decision to do this. It's a corporate decision, but these things suck. And she's like, I don't like them either, sir. I'm like, no, because they're stupid. I said, why should I have to? What if I have arthritis and can't type? What if I don't know how to use one of these things? How is that customer service for me to have to do all of their work? And she didn't like it either. And so she, you know, I finally go through all this stuff, check in, you know, tap here, sign here, you know, give me your fingerprint basically. And so I get my haircut, we go to check out, and I'm trying to pay for it. Again, the customer now has to do all this tap to pay for it. I'm like, heck, why even have the girl behind the counter? And she said, oh, we can't get it to work. We don't know what's going on, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's that we don't like these things either. So I'm like, well, this is just wonderful. You know, I'm like, can I just go to the barbershop and give you someone cash and they give me actually cash back? Like, that's a better – I think that's my next – I think I might be done going to Sport Clips. Anyways, I get my haircut. I roll out of there. You know, we're laughing about the stupid technology. I drive over to the body shop, guys. Oh, my goodness. This is Shane over at Lake Dallas Auto Body here in the Lake Cities in North Texas. And Shane literally drops everything. The man has never done a lick of advertising. Everything is word of mouth, treats people well. He literally stops everything he's doing to help fix my truck so my door opens and closes. Well, he goes in and he takes – the problem is the door is – remember, the door is still closed. We can't open the door. So he has to try to take the inner shell of the door apart in order to get down to where the actual the locking mechanism is. The what is it called now? Like the lock itself, the hinge switch. I don't know. I can't think of the word right now. But so he tries to get in there, and he can't get in there because you can't take the shell all the way off because the door is closed. And he tries with all his might. He's trying to reach down in an area that he can't even see. He has no leverage. I mean, it's like trying to do brain surgery, but you're in the dark and you can't see and you're blind. You know, you're trying to feel around for, like, poke the right part of the brain. It's not working. You know, he tries for a bunch of time. I feel terrible because then he's on the other line with someone. His father's in the hospital for a heart, you know, some heart surgery, you know, and he's – I'm like, man, this guy's having a bad day, and I just made it worse, and I felt so bad. You can't get it apart. He says, you know, you can go to the dealership, and maybe they have a special tool. Well, I go, you know, I go to the dealership. They're like, no, we can't. I mean, we'd have to – you could remove the seats and then try to take it off that way, but I don't know if you'd be able to get that inner shell off. You know, I said, well, you know how they have those heart transplant deals where they've got the little – the little lens that has, you know, a computer screen on the other end so you can see, like, what you're doing. Maybe squiggle a tool in there with some, you know, a special tool that you can turn. I mean, they got, you know, automobile wrenches and things with, you know, 50 different joints to get into those hard-to-reach places. But, nope, they don't have anything like that. That would be too – that would be actually repairing things. But we don't repair things anymore. We just replace them. So, anyways, the dealership's of no help because – and they would cost me the price of the truck to fix it. And so Shane, I'm going to have to drop it off, and he's literally going to have to saw my interior door panel in half and then extract it that way to access where the latch – that's what I was looking for, the latch – and get the latch. So the problem, folks – anyone who has a 2009 model Silverado, they've got crappy latches. And I don't know if it was post-recession, they used some cheap grease that year, but the latches are seizing up, which – and the latch isn't working well. That makes sense why the door lock actuator that, you know, moves the mechanism to mechanically, electronically move the latch failed. So that's why the actuators failed, because the latches are crap. So – I'm going to have to go and have the man saw open my door, spend $200 for the latch. I better get them both done. I mean, it's to the, you know, Terry, I go out of my way to do preventative maintenance on things, keep things up and running, and I just get everywhere from Sunday. And you know what I said to everybody? Thank God I still have that 97 Tahoe. And so I have to decide tomorrow, because I have a meeting with a big client law firm in Dallas. They're already a client. I've got the business, but they want to discuss things, and I know how it is. People look to see what people are driving. So, you know, I could either put my suit on, drive to Dallas, and hop out the like the Duke boys out the window, or crawl over the, you know, the passenger side and look like a ghetto piece of shit. Or I could take my 97 Tahoe and be judged for driving a 97 Tahoe and look like a broke ass who can't sustain his business. Either way, I'm going to look like an idiot. I'm going to feel stupid. I'm annoyed. And, hey, nothing works. So, and then as okay. I'm sitting there at the dealership trying to tell them about all this, my Sprint phone, which cut out about 700 times today, told me that I was in El Paso. Well, El Paso, Texas is about 7 million light years away from Denton, Texas. I'm not in El Paso, you know, and we're just – and I'm joking with the guys at the dealership. And I say, guys, I would sometimes wish I could have my old 94 back. If I could trade in this 2009 for a 94, I'd be happy. And he said, no, you know, even the new ones, 100 miles, people come in and they got problems and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, really, this is from a Chevy truck, you know? Mm-hmm. So – I don't know. I don't know what to say. All I do is take breaths, and I think other people have worse.
Let's push the hemorrhoid back in for a moment here.
Good Lord.
Did they try to get in with a jimmy stick next to the window?
To try and hook it
with a jimmy stick through the window. You can do it on a 2009.
No, we didn't try that.
Okay, you need somebody who's a locksmith probably to see if they can grab the latch that way. It's possible to do. Whether or not yours is too broken to do it, I don't know. But before I go and spend a gazillion dollars and have your door sawed off, I would definitely investigate that possibility. I would go to a good locksmith and say, look, here's what happened. Do you think that you can just get the door open? If you get it open, I'll take it in, have them, you know, tear the panel off and redo everything. But can you get it open? And, you know, can you use a jimmy stick to do it down through the window here? He may be able to do it, especially if you can get inside the car. They might be able to do it from the inside. So check it out before you go anywhere.
I will. I'm looking at Lake City's locksmith.
That'll be $180, please.
It'll be, well, it's $60 to the Lake City's locksmith, and we'll put it on your tab, Terry. How about that?
Yeah. My tab, which is now extending into the ocean somewhere.
Right. Well,
yeah,
I know. I thought about that.
Nothing's
before,
working.
It's
my computer wasn't working today. It was, it kept telling me that it was loading and it didn't load. So I tried another computer and that one told me it was loading and wouldn't load.
Oh, wait. Chase, should we try to do something? Should we try to do something fun? Hold on.
Please.
Luigi, we don't usually do things like this on the show, but we're going to call the Lake City's locksmith guy. We're just thinking out of the box here. 3536.
The intermission music.
It's ringing. Jeff James is his name.
Hello?
Hello? Hi, is this Lake City's
locksmith? Yes.
Hi, sir. My name is Nick, and I have a 2009 Silverado, and the door switch kind of failed, and the actuator is not able to pop the door lock open. And my body shop guy is talking about sawing the inside of the door apart. And I'm talking to a buddy of mine and saying, you know, if you could jimmy switch, you know, the jimmy it out. And
yeah.
get the door unlocked because the thing broke off from the actuator with the door closed.
Yeah.
You think
both of them?
You think you
both
can get it
sides?
Open?
I have no
on the
idea.
Just on the driver door. Driver door.
What about the other side? You can't open it.
I can open the passenger side and crawl out that way. Correct.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, you got the door. You can get in it right now, or. And you just can't get
I
the
can
door.
I can get
open.
In the truck. Yeah, the truck's in my driveway.
Yeah.
It's the driver door.
Uh-huh.
I can't open it from the outside or the inside.
Yeah. Okay. And you think it's the lock mechanism is broke loose or something?
Yes, sir.
Depends on. I mean, try it tonight or can it wait or?
Would it be, are you going to be around tomorrow? Can you come by tomorrow sometime?
That'd be the best because, yeah, you know, it's getting dark and everything. And, when, you know, that way I could see if we can get it open. And then, I don't know, I'd probably have to take the door panel off or something.
Well, that's the thing
you know?
Is we can't get the door panel off because the door is closed. And,
if we can get it open. Yeah.
Right.
What I mean.
It's worth a try, sir. Let me call you tomorrow. I have a meeting in Dallas, and I'll be back up here afterwards. So you tomorrow in the afternoon.
Where's the truck at?
Truck's at my house in Shady Shores.
Shady Shores, yeah. Okay, yeah, give me a call. We'll see if we can open it up. I mean, the door handle's still hooked up, right? I mean, you can feel it hooked up to something when you pull on it, right? It's just. You think the lock?
Well, not really, because when the truck is locked and you pull on the door handle, there's no, you don't feel anything. You know what I mean? It's only if it's unlocked. So the actuator is not connecting with something.
Yeah. Okay.
It's worth a try.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a hold of it and see what we can do. Yeah.
All right, bud. I'll give you a call tomorrow. I appreciate your help, sir.
All righty. Yep. Bye bye.
All righty. Bye-bye. well.
Okay, Nick, you
that guy can
let me critique that a little bit. You needed to be more specific to the man because he was having trouble understanding what the problem was. Which all you need to do is tell him that the pass or the driver's side door is locked, can't get in. Could he jimmy stick it from the inside or the outside to get it open? That's all you needed to tell him. You didn't have to put him through a change in life. I think there's a very good chance that he can get it open for you. He knew what he was talking about, and what he was asking you about the door handle is he meant that the door handle was still operable. The answer to that is yes. And again, a fundamental misunderstanding there. What was what mechanically? So anyhow, yeah, give him a call tomorrow. Okay, onward and upward with the
next week.
Know,
I hope
radio,
to have
so.
A good resolution.
Yeah, like a New Year's resolution. All right, our topics for the evening. I suppose that I can do Terry's tasteless joke because we haven't done that in a while. So, along with the fact that we're talking about car things, let's have an appropriate tasteless joke. So this gynecologist decides that he is absolutely, positively fed up with his job. Can't take it anymore. He's got a little nest egg set aside. He's okay. And he decides he wants to become an auto mechanic. So he goes to school. Now he's doing very well, all in all. And then comes the final exam. And the final exam is a complete rebuild on the engine of the car that's given to him. So he goes through his exam, and a week later he goes and looks for the test results, and he sees that he got 170%. So he goes and looks for the teacher and said, obviously there was a mistake here, a computer error or something. Shows 170%. What did I actually get? Was it a 70? I said, oh, no. The teacher says, you got 170%. So how is that possible? He said, well, you got 100% for getting absolutely everything right and everything in the right place. And he said, you got 70% extra for doing it all through the tailpipe.
Nice.
That was a good joke.
Good job. It is a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Here, my next, as you're telling your joke, I'm thinking, okay, so this guy gets my truck open. The second I close the door, it's going to lock, and I'm going to be right back at square one. So I'm gonna
No. What you do is you're probably going to be driving with the arm out the window routine and a piece of cardboard in there so it can't latch again on the way to the body shop.
Yeah, right. That's a good way, exactly. So mm-hmm. Here you go. Fix it. Well,
All right,
onward and upward. How about that? Passing personages, you got a time for this?
Yeah,
Lonnie Brooks died.
Passed away. Yep. I was going to bring that one up to you when we spoke earlier. And
mm-hmm.
I'm glad you found that one. A whole bunch of other people have died, but it's getting to the point where so many people are dying that are famous, it's sort of overwhelming. But Lonnie Brooks was a good choice for today. And we wish his family the very best, and we wish his survivors the very best. And we hope that Lonnie is playing some beautiful music somewhere up there, around there, in the universe someplace.
Yep.
That's very New Agey, isn't it? Oh, well. Off we go. Next topic. Nick,
let me see. Okay, I'll throw out this thing with the internet bill. Now, Terry, you told me earlier there was something about Trump signing a measure that would let internet service providers sell our browsing history. So
yeah, he's not signing it. He's just not preventing it from going through.
Okay.
Which is a different story. Now, I got this sort of secondhand. That's why I was going to have you investigate it a little more. But
sure.
Allegedly, what's happened is there's a bill right now that would essentially let internet service providers sell your stuff, your information, all the way down to your Social Security information if somebody wanted it, and make a profit out of it, make your life miserable with it, whatever they want to do. right now those things are protected. Allegedly, Mr. Trump is not signing or not killing this bill and not vetoing this bill, as everyone had hoped he would. Mr. Trump has made a couple of very unpopular decisions in the past 4 or 5 days, and it's going to be interesting to see exactly what happens, because something like 82% of the people polled were outraged about this. Didn't matter if they were Republican or Democrat, they were outraged because yet another invasion of our privacy. And the other thing that just absolutely outraged me was listening to this Fox News commentator tell me that we had no reason or right to expect personal privacy in this country. How about that? Want to comment on that one, Nick?
Yeah, that's a bit absurd.
There's going on and on about that we surrendered that a long time ago. I don't remember raising my hand and surrendering it.
Nope.
And I'm just damn sick and tired. Hell no, we do not need any more of this bullshit from our government. I'm sick and tired of them watching everything I do. I'm sick and tired of not having the privacy I was supposed to have per the Constitution. And I'm sick and tired of being under a microscope. What the hell happened to being able to lead your life and lead it in the pursuit of freedom and happiness? This is complete bullshit. And Mr. Trump better get his ass in gear and sign something that vetoes this thing and gets it out of there. It's enough that we are exposed to everything imaginable right now. It's worse giving him a license to do it.
Let me say this about this topic. So when I go on Google and I search for the information, I get a whole bunch of NBC articles right on the top, all sorts of NBC articles. I also go and I pull up Fox News articles because I know it's going to be the other side of the story. I've got to read both to try to decipher somewhere in the middle what the actual reality is. And what's interesting is if I'm searching on Google, I need to put in the same search query but also add Fox News in order to get the Fox News articles. So I first read the NBC article. And, I mean, it is – basically the whole article is conclusory. This is what will happen. Everyone's upset. This is this. Misguided, blah, blah. Bunch of quotes. So you basically it's a whole bunch of quotes of people who have one opinion and are giving you one side of the story. Then you go read the Fox News article. The Fox News article paints an entirely different picture that Trump is – eliminating Obama administration era things, providing with, you know, which would mean broadband providers could collect data as users online, you know, user online activities. They're saying backers say the regulatory rollback of these rules had not yet taken effect, but merely would put the internet providers on the same level as search engines like Google. Well, you know, what does that mean? And, you know, and as someone with education and a law degree, I'm trying to do is to decipher what all, you know, I almost need to say, can I pull what the original stuff is, spend 4 hours reading and ingesting it to find out what actually happened, because I can't rely on anyone. I mean, all they're doing is spinning whether it's good or bad, you know, and I've joked about Idiocracy, you know, the movie. And, you know, there was this whole thing with what Susan Rice, I haven't followed this story because again, you have to, it's like going through like lines of code, you know, you almost need a decoder ring to figure out what the hell's actually happening. And I know I was joking with my brother. I said, you know what they should just do? They should just have a corner, top corner of the screen, where they just get to the bottom of it. Susan Rice bad. Susan is smelly. You know, she's a dumb bitch. You know, something like that. Or she's good, does this. You know, puppies love her. You know, it's almost getting to the point where, you know, why even follow the news? You know what I've been following lately is baseball. I'm happy that baseball season's back because at least I can see what's happening and I know what I'm getting. But trying to research, you know, what's going on with this bill, you know, I don't know who's saying what. I don't know what quotes are accurate. There's no reliable source. I mean, you almost need to be in the actual hearings, have written the policy and the rules and that follow this stuff, you know, I mean, it's, you can't, I know you rely on news to give you the information. Sorry, folks, it's not working. The news is broken, badly broken. So
yes, it is.
What the reality is with this, I'm not really sure, you know, but I know that I don't like the idea of internet service providers collecting and selling all the information. And someone put in there, no one needs the internet service providers to know what size underwear you're buying when you're buying it. They don't need to know what you're buying for health supplements. They don't. I mean, we have HIPAA. We have all these privacy protections, but the second you do anything on the internet, you know, I mean, to, you know,
blammo,
research.
Wide open.
Like, how about this? Like, you want to research what you're being prescribed by the doctor because it might be something like Cipro and cause you to have your Achilles blow out. So, you know, it's, I don't give, you know, we said last week, nothing works and people go, oh, well. And I mean, you wonder, like, people, like, remember Ted Kaczynski went and lived in the woods and he was a Unabomber and was just crazy? You know, what pushes people to...
Did you ever read his stuff? Did you ever read his
stuff?
No, I haven't. His manifesto? You should.
No, I haven't.
Where you call him crazy, you might want him to read his manifesto. Yes, he went about things the wrong way, but he was not crazy, and he was a person with a great deal of depth. He was very smart, and if you read what he did, what his ideas were, and what his problems were, you'll find a very different individual. I read his whole damn thing at one point in time because I was interested in finding out how much of what the news said was cooked up and otherwise. And it would do well to have you read that whole manifesto of his, because it's a telling thing. It really is. And I'm going to be the first one to say he went about what he was doing the wrong way. Injuring people or killing people is not the way to do it. But by the same token, the thrust of what he was doing, what was behind it, really was pretty interesting. It really was. And had he done it a different way and approached it a different way, he might have been called a hero by some. But obviously not when you're hurting people.
Well, look what Edward Snowden, you've got WikiLeaks and all that. I mean, Edward Snowden was the first, you know, person who caught major media attention for that. And, you know, you wonder, is he a traitor or is he a superhero? You know, and you got a whole spread of different things. Again, trying to get the facts. Here's another interesting, this came up the other day. There was someone online saying, Trump is the first person that doesn't have a dog in the White House and all this. Someone else said, okay, here's Trump's snickerdoodle or whatever the dog's called. And nope, he doesn't actually have a dog. And someone said to me, oh, you're wrong. You know, you're bad information, fake news. I said, you know what? At the end of the day, I haven't had an opportunity to drive by the White House and personally observe whether or not there's a dog there. But trying to find that information online, you just can't get it. And something I saw in 60 Minutes was one of these people who works for one of these fake news publications. I mean, not that it's intended to be fake news, but it's these salacious stories and clickbait. And the guy's like, hey, it's a major industry. Like, you know, we still tell the story in the way that we think it should be told. And I mean, and there's these people who are, there's a huge industry and lots of money to be made in duping the public. And what a sick, I mean, just what a sick world we live in. That's,
yes, we do. Craziness, chaos, and things that make very little sense. And how about some just plain old rock and roll about a crazy woman and the guy who loved her? Willie Nile.
All right. Willie Nile. We have two versions. One that's 3 minutes and 48 seconds. We have one version that's 3 minutes and 45 seconds. One of them could be live. I'm afraid I'm going to get in big trouble here. Which one do you want to go with, Terry? We have two that we already have downloaded. Until I start playing it. I don't know which one it is.
Listen for me to yell.
Which?
Because the one that's
right,
not live is a sort of an interpretation of the song. It's not the original song.
Raise your voice if this is the wrong one, and I'll play the other one.
Okay.
Hey! 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 back home, my uncle was there, smoking cigars in his blue underwear. We danced on the roof, we ate on the floor, and when it was over, I begged him for more.
Well, that was actually the live version, but it was a pretty good version. But what the hell? Play the other one. We could use a little relief tonight. All right, let's do it.
Another version.
He told me, so watch out for her. She's bad and she's bony. She's what I prefer. Back home, her uncle was there, smoking cigars in his blue underwear. We danced on the roof, we ate on the floor.
My man, Willie Nile. Willie Nile is
a catchy tune.
Great musician. What's that? Catchy tune?
It's a
yeah,
catchy
it's great
tune.
Rock and roll, man. It's great rock and roll. And Willie Nile is from the East Coast.
It reminded me of My Sharona by The Knack.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Got a good driving beat to it. And Nick was dancing all through that. I could hear him. I just hope you'd kept your boxers on this time.
I was actually
so we didn't scare our audience.
Vacuum cleaners, disposable vacuum cleaners, Kirby vacuum cleaners.
Uh-huh. Okay, onward and upward, off the Kirby vacuum cleaner. And did you do any April Fool's pranks? I did several. I was pretty pleased with myself. I didn't do as many as I wanted.
I didn't do any. But here's what I did notice. the internet was, the joke was that everything on the internet was fake. on April Fool's, and
that's
then on April 2nd, someone goes, oh, well, now that April Fool's is over, we know that everything on the news is going to be real again, which is funny. The one good one I saw was a story by one of these local publications called We Do It Denton. And it's, I don't know what they are, some organization. And they had this whole story they wrote up about how the Morrison Corn Kits plant, which has been, it's like right in the middle of the town. It's just big silos, and they make corn kits. People say, well, what's corn kits? Well, it's like the little packages you go to make cornbread muffins, something like that. It's that stuff. Well, the story was that they were getting rid of corn kits, and they were changing into a vape factory. I was like, what? I'm like, what do you mean they're changing into a vaping factory and they're going to make vapes and these vape things? It got me kind of fired up. I was like, you know, these damn kids, get off my lawn. We don't need no vape factory. I was all indignant about it. And then I realized in the comments someone said, April Fool's. And then, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, more vaping. Because, by the way, those things blow up. I was watching Cops or something, and they were talking about a news story about kids vaping and someone on a bus, this thing blew up in their pocket. No, this one was on Fox News, local news, here in North Texas somewhere. Some kid, the vape thing blew up and burnt his face and his chest, and he was in the hospital with critical condition. And I'm like, man, you think smoking's going to kill you? Shit, try these vapes, you know, don't do that. You know, or maybe the cell phone will blow up, or the what else blows up? Those hoverboard things. I was like, seriously, go out and eat rusty nails, drink from hoses, and hook your skateboard onto the back of a pickup like Marty McFly. You're probably going to be safer.
Well, onward and upward.
Yes.
Would you like to hear
drinking
one of my
drugs and chemical enhancements? Lay it on me. What do you want to talk about with this stuff?
Well, we haven't really sort of brought all of this out, but
We have a hand. Hold on, because we don't want to leave anyone hanging, so they don't have any time left.
No.
All right,
here's
our buddy ending in 0619. Hey, what's going on? How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Well, you've heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to add to change directions of your show here a little bit.
Please.
Is it me, or does it seem like there's a lot more, at least here in the United States, a lot more big storms this year? Big, huge, tornadoes,
yes,
and the snowfall and the wind.
Yes, that's a proven fact. And all you have to do is talk to some of our people in our government, like our president, and find out that there is no global warming. Thank you so much for that enlightened opinion. And, the fact of the matter is we've got massive climate changes that are going on because of the warming. The number of states that are now having to deal with the ocean rising is huge. They're trying to figure out how to keep areas from flooding. There are areas in Europe that are going underwater. There are areas in Italy that are going underwater. Italy, of course, is part of Europe. All over the globe, islands are shrinking. And we are having massive storms. We're not having big storms. We're having massive storms, the likes of which we've never seen. This is not a normal cycle. It has happened in a rapidity that is absolutely uncanny, never before seen. You know, there it is. And the people who want to make believe and say that it's not happening, well, great. Go join the Easter Bunny for dinner, and hopefully, you know, St. Nick and Santa Claus are there at the same time. No, no insult to Santa Claus, of course. But it's just, it's ridiculous. It's happening. Of course it's happening. And the matter is that would this be happening if humans weren't on the planet? Hell no. It's us. We're doing it. And we need to take responsibility for it. You know, as the crummy saying goes, we need to own it. It really is ours, and we've caused it. And what do we do about it? Well, that's a good question. We're really good at fucking it up. We're really lousy at fixing it. And that's where the whole crux of it is.
I happen to know that you have some land down in Missouri. Has that been damaged? Because I know that they just had the tornado fest down there also.
Yeah, well, it's actually in Arkansas. And the tornado that you're talking about went within about 2 miles of my place that I have down there. And I was talking to my neighbors at great length just to see what was going on. I was more concerned for them by far because they're up on a hill and they're on a mountain ridge. And my property is mostly down in one of the hollers, as it's called. So I had no particular fears for that. The tornadoes are going to go over the top. They don't readily drop down in these hollers. But my neighbors were really at serious risk. And when I say neighbors, they're about 2.5 miles away. That's about as close as they get. Hell of a nice pair of people, too. As good a people as you'll ever see in your life. Tammy and Wayne, I salute you for being good people. So, yep, it's all going on. It's all happening. It's continuing to happen. And there's a damn thing we know how to do about it.
What does the summer have to – what do we have to look forward to for the summer?
I wish I had a crystal ball.
Warm this game hotter than normal?
This was the warmest winter ever on record, first of all, since they've been keeping tabs on it for God knows how many years. I'm not a meteorologist, but I don't think the meteorologists have any more clue than I do as to what's going to happen. This is completely uncharted territory. We just don't know. We just don't know. So, well, we made it. We're going to lay in it. And if we're going to make believe that it's not there, all the worse for us. I, for one, will be ready for some of it. Last night in Florida, there were massive storms that went through, just bone-crushing storms, hail, you name it. And there had been no rain whatsoever for almost a month in Central Florida. When was the last time you heard about that? The weather patterns are just messed up. They really are. So, you know, I don't know. I don't have great high hopes at this point in time. I could be all kinds of, the glass is half full, but, man, I'm sorry, but the glass is pretty well drained, and we are not facing it. Gentlemen?
You know, one thing that I always think gets in the biggest way of talking about weather and the climate is politics, money, gain, positioning. You know, it's, I'd like to hear more information from people. Here's the problem. Let's say you're and maybe this information's out there and I'm just an idiot and don't know about it, but you know, scientists and researchers need funding. I mean, you can't do this in a vacuum. And I hope that, and I hope, maybe I just haven't seen the information, but I hope that there is politically neutral information out there. And, you know, maybe there is, but every time I hear see a documentary that says this way or that way, you got to look at the credits and see like where the money's flowing from.
Well, as far as neutral information, what are we talking about? What are you suggesting? Which type of information regarding what?
Like people studying the patterns of weather, people studying the.
Yeah,
there's
tons of stuff that come from countries that have no vested interest in, you know, reporting it one way or another, other than they're just trying
to
do science. And the people of science, there's millions of words of stuff out there right now that have nothing to do with political agendas. They're simply scientific journals, scientific reporting, scientific studies. There's tons of that, not supported by Monsanto. And on the other hand, not supported by Greenpeace, but just simply studies. And the studies, if you take them from the middle portion of what we're talking about, which is the glut of them, all say the same thing. It's like 97% of all of the people in science who were polled, people with good scientific backgrounds, will tell you the same thing. So in a diving competition, they win, hands down. And it's a very sad situation that the American public is not informed about this. And they're not informed because they're not looking for the information. They don't care to look for the information. It's all out there. As I said, there's millions of words out there regarding this and regarding the problems, regarding the causes, regarding potential future impacts from all this stuff, and a number of models that people have made, quite a number of models, as to what could potentially happen. But the bottom line is we don't know enough about long-term effects of this because it's never happened before. So we're in completely uncharted territory. All we know is that it's going to get bad. How bad, we don't know. And what the end result is going to be. If we get too many more of these catastrophic storms, you're going to see insurance companies start going belly up. And when that starts to happen, you're talking about some of the richest portions of our capitalistic economy going bye-bye. You know, you want to think about it strictly in financial terms, just put that one in your pipe and smoke it. It's phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal what's going on. And that's it. It's a weather phenomenon. We don't know where it's going to end up. We can make certain extrapolations, but we know from experience that extrapolations are very dangerous when it comes to science. There are just too many factors that we can't take into consideration. We just don't know. All we know, as I said, is that it's going to get bad and likely it's going to get worse and that we don't know anything that we can do about it. So, you know, on one hand, we've got nut jobs yelling that every time you light a fire in your fireplace, it's doing horrendous damage. And on the other hand, we've got the people who say everything's fine. There's nothing new about this. It's just a little bit of a cycle that we go through. They're both wrong. You know, we need to stay, again, as centered as we can about the issue. But even staying centered, it is deplorable what has happened to our climate and our planet. So, with that said, onward. Our next topic.
Yeah, you had mentioned drinking drugs and chemical enhancements.
Yeah, we talked earlier.
I was just curious.
We haven't gotten there yet. Okay, so let's just for a moment visit that. And the number of people who are on various substances on a daily basis is just absolutely remarkable to me. I was having a conversation, you probably couldn't call it a conversation with someone today. And they were either, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I think that this person has a serious problem. The conversation in the real world made no sense whatsoever. And the individual's response or over-response to even the slightest nudge was crazy. I mean, it was just, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be overly effusive, but no matter what I said, no matter how gently I tried to say it, no matter how cooperatively I tried to phrase things, it didn't matter. I was going to be under attack.
I was vilified. I was called names. I was, you know, all sorts of craziness going on. And that was never my intent toward this person. As a matter of fact, my intent with my call was to be, hi, how are you doing? I wanted to see if everything was okay in your world. And it never really got that far. It.
Wow.
I don't know if this individual was on drugs or should have been on drugs or was on alcohol and shouldn't have been on alcohol. I don't know. But it's a sad thing when you start seeing this happen because they start taking the rest of us down too.
This stuff with the antibiotics, this stuff with Cipro, all these people who have been prescribed Cipro. My brother went to the doctor with a intestinal issue, not enough fiber in his diet. Just got full of shit, you know, anyways. But so they wanted, Cipro was one of the things that they, and I thought, how are, I mean, anyone that's seen 60 Minutes or a recent program has learned that this stuff is bad, and people who exercise on this stuff are having their tendons and all sorts of, I mean, what are we doing? Why are we doing some of the, and it's almost like we're like, it's almost like anyone who goes to the doctor gets drugs, it's like some idiot in a petri dish for them to, well, maybe this will work, maybe that will. I don't want to go to a doctor or a hospital. I'll take my chances with nutrition.
Nick, ciprofloxacin, which is the antibiotic you're talking about, is in fact a fairly mild offender compared to many of the others. I mean, there are things like gentamicin sulfate, which will take out your kidneys and your neural system. There are other drugs that they've taken off the market because they were too cheap and too effective. But on the bottom line of all of this is allopathic medicine, where we are taking substances and hyper-purifying them down to what we call the active ingredient, which usually makes it exceedingly toxic. The accessory factors have been removed that would normally protect us at least from some of the harmful effects. You know, when something makes it onto 60 Minutes, sure, everybody's jumping up and down about it, but for each medication like that, there are 50 others that are far worse that never make it onto 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
We need to change the view of allopathy. We need to change it to a much more naturopathic view so that we are dealing with things in the least invasive, least toxic way possible, and yet still getting the job done. It's just not happening, man. It's not happening.
Yeah. We're out of time.
Yep. We are out of time. Well, we got a minute left, but anyhow, please, everybody, stay safe. Try to interject some sanity into this world, man. It's getting worse and worse on a weekly basis. Nick and I say, hell no, you shouldn't be taking this anymore, and hell no, don't let them take advantage of you. Hell no, don't start a fight about it. Do things
right.
In a measured, thoughtful fashion.
And we'll be back next week because I'm going to blow off one of my board meetings because I don't feel like seeing some of those people next week. So I'm blowing it off.
All right, man.
We'll be here. I'll call in, and then I'm going to cut that phone call at 7:15. We'll be back here next week. Hell no, the radio show. Y'all stay sane.
Thanks,
don't drink
everybody.
The Kool-Aid.
Good night.
Bye-bye now.